The ACT has joined Queensland and Western Australia to warn border closures could remain even after vaccination targets of 70 and 80% are reached. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, is urging the states and territories to stick to National Cabinet's plan of easing restrictions despite New South Wales's high case numbers, telling Nine Radio.
In states like Western Australia, which haven't had those outbreaks, then of course people think that, oh, I don't need to get the vaccine because it's not here. Well, COVID will have a second view about that. And the borders and those other things that states might want to do are not as powerful as the vaccine.
Professor Nancy Baxter is a clinical epidemiologist from the University of Melbourne and our guest tonight. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
New South Wales has reached its 6 million jab target. What does that actually mean for Sydney's chances of getting on top of this outbreak or of lifting some restrictions which they've foreshadowed?
Well, you know, I think it's quite amazing that they've been able to make this progress. And, you know, it shows what can be done when, you know, all of our efforts and resources are put towards getting people vaccinated. So it's really something that every state needs to emulate. But when you think about it, although they now have 59 people having received one jab, that means that less than 50% of people are actually protected at this point. So, you know, when you look at the whole population, it's only about 48%. So that's still not enough to really drive the outbreak down. And I want to emphasize that every single person that's vaccinated makes a difference. They protect themselves and they help protect the community. But in terms of avoiding the outbreak kind of continuing to grow, the number needs to be higher than 48% of people protected. We also know that people who are vaccinated can still catch COVID. So the vaccines reduce that number, and they're also really, really highly effective at preventing people from getting sick or dying. But they don't prevent every single infection. So people who are vaccinated can still get it. They can still transmit it. And so that means that you really have to have a very high number of people protected before you can really get an outbreak under complete control.
The state reached that target early, the 6 million jabs. Does that mean it wasn't ambitious enough? Clearly, there's a lot of appetite for vaccination.
Yeah, I think one of the key things was they got additional supply. And so I think that allowed them to really get more vaccines into people. I think they also brought pharmacies on board, which has been very, very helpful in terms of driving up numbers. But I think it shows that there is a real appetite for vaccines. And, you know, the main thing has been supply. And the good news for all of your listeners is that supply is no longer going to be an issue in the very near future. I think what we'll be seeing in September is lots of supply of vaccine, and in October, it's really going to be abundant. So what we need to focus on in that time period is getting everyone out to get vaccinated. So if you get vaccinated yourself, if you already have been vaccinated, help someone else get vaccinated. And try and convince the vaccine hesitant people in your life that vaccination is right for them and the community.
We've heard this afternoon that a woman in her 30s with COVID died at home in Sydney's West. This is not the first time we've heard of a person dying at home. How concerning is this?
Well, it's at least the third young person that's died of COVID in Sydney. And I think it just shows that although young people are less likely to have serious illness, if there's a widespread outbreak, there are going to be plenty of young people that are sick. And we know that many of the people in the ICU right now in Sydney are unfortunately quite young. And definitely there are some issues with respect to COVID that do sometimes make it so that people can be sicker than they think. So there is some decrease in the sense of a low oxygen. So usually when we have a low oxygen, we get very short of breath. But with some people with COVID, that's kind of dampened. So they don't realize how low in oxygen they are until they're extremely ill. And occasionally that can happen. So that is a concern. It definitely was one of the things that emerged from the outbreaks in the United States and in Europe. And it may be that that is happening as well. It's not very common, but it can happen.
Victoria continues to record significant numbers of cases infectious while in the community. So today only 11 of the 50 were in quarantine. Why is that message not getting through?
Well, I think they're still dealing with a number of emerging outbreaks. And so they're still finding people who've had COVID that are unlinked to other cases. So they're definitely not going to be in isolation. They're still tracking down some of these newer outbreaks. So when we look at the older outbreaks, like the Altiqua College outbreak, that's been controlled, and we're not seeing new cases emerging there. But we're seeing these small fires that are happening around Melbourne in the region, and they're new cases. They're leading to new primary contacts, new sites of exposure, et cetera. So it just shows that we're still not really on top of it. And, you know, just that they just talked about new cases in Geelong. So six individuals from a household that are all positive in Geelong. So there are going to be many cases related to that, as well as many more exposure sites. So although there was some positive thing in terms of only 50 cases in Victoria today, which is very good, I think they're still not on top of all the various outbreaks that are happening in the state.
What do you make of the Doherty Institute clarifying that even with hundreds of cases a day, it is possible to reopen once 70% of the population is fully vaccinated?
Well, remember, they're not talking about 70% of the population. That they're actually talking about around 54-56% of the population. The 70% is of those that are eligible for a vaccine. So when you look around the world, opening up with a level of vaccination that low, you know, is associated with major outbreaks, a lot of hospitalization and death. So we're not really going to be able to open up at 56% of our population vaccinated. There's still going to have to be a lot of restrictions in place to not allow, widespread and major outbreaks happening. And I don't think the Doherty model is trying to kind of hide that. No. It's not saying that we can, you know, get rid of all our restrictions when we reach 70. It's just when you have that many people vaccinated, you know, things do change. It'll be harder for COVID to transmit within a community, and many more people will be protected. But what I'd say is that 56% of the population really isn't enough, and we all need to focus on getting that number much, much higher. And every percentage we get that number higher is less death, less illness, and less long COVID that'll be in our community. So that needs to be everyone's focus.
The ACT says it will include children over 12 in calculating the percentage of its population that is vaccinated. Now, the Doherty modelling doesn't include the children. Would including them paint a clearer picture?
Well, I think it would be more comparative to many other places in the world. We don't currently have trials that have been conducted in children. They're being conducted now, so we'll have that data soon. So children under 12 are not eligible for a vaccine. But we know the vaccine's been approved for 12 to 15-year-olds in Australia, as well as for 16 and over. And currently, higher-risk teenagers are being offered the vaccine. Most people agree that the teenage population should be part of the population vaccinated. Although it's uncommon that they get sick, they can get sick. There certainly are a number of deaths that have occurred worldwide in that age group. They definitely transmit the disease. And the other thing is, if we don't vaccinate that age group, their schools are likely to be closed quite frequently because of outbreaks happening in their school. We saw that in the UK before the end of the school year, at least 300,000 school children were out of school because of outbreaks in their schools. So I think there are a number of reasons why it makes sense to vaccinate teenagers. And it will definitely help in terms of preventing the outbreak from continuing to propagate.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Professor Nancy Baxter is a clinical epidemiologist at the University of Melbourne. I'd love to hear from you tonight because there's been a kind of a rather politicised debate about when to open up or question marks around what the modelling really means. Clearly, you know, one thing is very clear. You need everyone to go out and get vaccinated. I mean, that's just key now. And with supply coming down the line, it seems like absolutely urgent. 0418 226 576 is the text line.